ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Well, at least it did yesterday. And all you want for Christmas is a quarterback that can throw and an offense that can run and a team that can win. I am Joel Blank. He is Travis Johnson. Nick Sherrara behind the glass. Welcome into a Monday in which the Texans did not kick some ass. The Green Bay Packers completed the three-game sweep that I predicted 3 weeks ago. And now your Texans are in the dogfight that we expected them to be in, high atop the AFC South at 6-6, along with the Tennessee Titans. And if Indianapolis wins tonight against the Jets, which most people predict that they will, you might have a three-way logjam on top of the division. And the only thing going your way is that you are undefeated in divisional games this year. So with that, I say good afternoon to my fine gentlemen and esteemed colleagues. I have missed you over the weekend. Boys, checking in, how was the weekend? How was everything? I guess from my perspective, you realize that I got one of two, but I really would have liked to have had the one Saturday night, especially when I had a big lead going into the half. But I will start off with you, Mr. Johnson.
Well, I mean, I get to play, you know, our Florida State football team gets to go to the Orange Bowl and play against the University of Michigan Wolverines.
You get to play the Khakis.
You know, and I'm excited, man. I'm when I tell you I'm excited, most people who know me know that I was a diehard Michigan fan growing up. I actually committed to Michigan to go play football at Michigan and changed my mind on National Signing Day that somebody just was so happy.
Oh, you were one of those guys?
That's so happened to bring up today. Yeah.
Played one of those, played the shell game with the hats?
No, I didn't do that. My parents wouldn't allow me to have a press conference, even though I wanted to. But, you know, the first thing they said was, if you're not staying in California, you can't have a press conference. So, I mean, it was what it was. I picked the right school, and now my school gets to play the school that I grew up wanting to play at. Now in a bowl game, you can't beat that, man. This is awesome.
No, that is awesome. And the fact of the matter is that again, and we do this only to build credibility with the listeners, but we had it almost pegged to a T.
Yes, we did.
We said that both Florida State and Wisconsin would backdoor their way into a New Year's Six. You did it because you lost early enough that you could recover, and Wisconsin couldn't recover from just a piss-poor second half. And again, I think from a committee standpoint, and I'll ask you this too, and Nick, we'll catch up and see in just a second, but my point is the committee was pulling hard for Wisconsin. Because if Wisconsin wins, then they get their four, and no one has any reason to question
exactly.
But as I said last week, if Penn State wins, and they win the conference, and they've beaten Ohio State head-to-head,
it causes controversy.
And it goes against everything that the committee has said that they stand for in terms of how they pick, who gets in, and who doesn't, and the criteria. Because, what was it, a couple years ago? Was it TCU?
TCU and Baylor, both of them were 10-1.
Yep.
Both of them tied for the Big 12 championship, and the issue was they only had a 10-team league because of when all the other teams were
skirted away. They didn't have a conference championship game.
So basically, they're doing a lot of backtracking. They're trying to say, well, there's no equal conferences. There's no equal say in conferences. But at the same time, I look at it like this. 3 years ago when that happened, TCU and Baylor could have beat any team in America.
Yep.
Both of those teams were putting up 70 points a game almost.
Yep.
They were putting up more than their basketball team was putting up. So the fact is that you allowed them not to get in, and the only reason at the time, you didn't say, you know what, their quality of wins aren't good enough. You didn't say the Big 12 isn't as strong as the SEC or the Big 10 or the ACC. You didn't say the Big 12 doesn't have enough teams. The first thing you said was there's a tie for the league championship and there's no outright winner, so we don't feel right sending either one.
And they've let it be known in interviews, too, that everyone's on a different page in terms of what the criteria is. But what they've said in the past is you've got to win your conference championship to be in it, and now they've completely contradicted themselves in what they just put out there.
And that's where, in my opinion, it now looks like all we did was put a committee together to do the same things, to do the same thing that the BCS is doing.
Did, right, yep.
But now just have a human form of it. Because before, the BCS was all computers. It didn't tell you what. It factored in, of course, the coaches' poll and the writers' poll, but it also had the computer element of it. But now all you're saying is, you know what? We're going to pick whoever we want to pick. Because as far as they're concerned, if they want to, if they collude enough, they could put a four-loss team in there if they felt like it.
Yeah. I mean, look, Michigan, in the committee's mind, especially because it's Michigan, had a lot of people worried that if there was some way or another, they were going to try and squeeze a Michigan-Alabama game into that first of the playoff games because the ratings would have went through the roof because you got Harbaugh and Saban, Michigan and Alabama.
Yeah, oh, and it would have. It very well could have been.
And you and I have talked about the bias that they've shown towards big-name programs and big-time college institutions of football.
And you know what? And I hate to say this because technically we are employed by ESPN, but it's the ESPN rhetoric, man, that they continue to push as far as with the big station, not here
right,
in
Bristol.
Houston, mm-hmm. but in Bristol. It's like you see it with all year long. You see how they literally slant. And, of course, you're a billion-dollar corporation. You're going to be at a slant. Anything you feel like slanting.
Right.
But when you see what they do with the teams, and it's like, oh, well, I think this team is better, they fuel all that stuff. Because guess what? All these playoff guys, they can't watch every game. So they just take the speculation of what ESPN says. And then it goes down to the award system as well. When it comes down to the
Heisman,
the Heisman and all that other stuff, the fact that you got guys who are leading the country in rushing aren't on the list. The fact that you got guys that are leading the country.
I looked at the Heisman watch
on the list
on CBS the other day, and I'm like, "Where's the kid from San Diego State? Where is I'm looking at all these different kids, and yet the four that they put up there, and they even took the kid from the quarterback from Washington out of the mix,
yeah.
and still had four guys. And I'm going, I get the first two. But how in the world are you ignoring guys that are leading the country in rushing?
I'm telling you, it's one of the biggest tragedies of college football right now is the fact that we allow them to get away with the continued bias of the things that they do. I mean, Dalvin Cook, of course, yeah, I'm biased towards Florida State, but the bottom line is Dalvin Cook should have been invited. At least he should be invited to the ceremony. But the thing is, all the voters, because a lot of these voters don't watch football. So all the voters, all they do is watch ESPN, and they listen to the things that ESPN is going to say, and they say, oh, this is what I'm doing. You got some voters that turned in their ballots 2 weeks ago. Like, how do you turn in your Heisman Trophy voting 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I don't understand that either. I mean, look, with the big games and the conference games and games where you got to step up because they're the biggest games of the year for your program, how in the frickin' world can you place your ballot that early? I just don't get it.
You can't.
If
all the people who've done it, they need to lose their vote. They need to take their vote away. In my opinion, they need to take their vote away because for the simple fact is, you can't sit there and say, I'm watching this objectively. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And then now all of a sudden, you say, well, I hadn't watched in 2 weeks. I put my ballot in 3 weeks ago. Lamar Jackson played like dog crap the last few
games. Last couple weeks.
And
totally
so that
agree.
That has to factor into your Heisman Trophy. I understand he scored all these touchdowns. Everybody says, oh, well, it's becoming the best player on the best team. Well, let's newsflash. Louisville's lost three games. And everybody says, oh, it's becoming the best player. I said, because the same rhetoric they pulled with Tim Tebow and Johnny Manziel. When yes, they were great players. Yes, they deserved to win the Heisman. But let's be real. Tim Tebow lost four games his Heisman Trophy year. Johnny Manziel lost four games his Heisman Trophy year. That, to me, has to factor in as well.
Yeah, I hate that excuse. And I hate, just like, we can talk about it too, but Barry and I go back and forth on MVP in the NBA, and he says that the Thunder have to be a winning team in order for Russell Westbrook to win the MVP, and I completely disagree. And when you look at what he's doing as an individual player, you can't take anything away from him. And regardless of how, it's a bonus if your team's playing well, but that doesn't make his accomplishments any less, especially when you look at how the last time someone did what he's doing is 30, 40 years ago. You have to tip your cap and say the guy for one season is the best in the league.
Exactly.
You know who else is the best in the league? Infuse Energy. Infuse Energy is a locally owned and operated company here in Houston, Texas, owned and operated by CEO Josh Pesikoff, and it is the best energy company for you if you're looking for a company that's going to tailor-make a program that fits exactly your needs and brings you the energy when you need it most. Whether you're a nighttime family and you're not home during the day, and at night you're running the dishwasher and you're watching TV and you're busting out a lot of hot water and you're doing a lot of different things, or you're a company and during the day you're grinding it out with the lights on and the copiers going and the internet up, and then at night you go dark so you don't need it as much. Infuse Energy sets up the perfect program for you, whether you're a business or a residential customer. They're 100% honest, and the best part about it is if your needs change, they will adapt with you. Unlike when you lock into a big company, you're locked into that program until it expires and the contract expires, and you just got to deal with it. These guys are good at understanding what your needs are, and if they change, they'll work with you. And the best part about it, too, if you call with a customer service issue, you don't get an automated system. You get a real-life human being, and in most cases, they can take care of it by the time you hang up the phone. All you got to do is call 844-INFUSE2. That's 844-463-8732 or InfuseEnergy.com. Mention ESPN 97.5 right off the top to receive a $25 bill credit. And the thing I like the most, 100% green energy at your fingertips. You sign up, choose a green plan. That offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits and helps decrease your carbon footprint. That's being a quality, caring human being on the planet Earth in which we live. So go green, go Infuse Energy, 100% green energy, and all the energy at your fingertips. InfuseEnergy.com, 844-INFUSE2.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
One thing we never do is we never bring you hot garbage. There's a lot out there that bring you hot garbage. Or, as another expression I can't stand, a dumpster fire. But regardless, we are on fire. We bring the heat. And as like I said, we build credibility because we don't steer you wrong. We tell you exactly what we think is going to happen. More times than not, we're pretty damn accurate. So Joel and Travis, Nick behind the glass. Nick, we didn't have a chance to catch up yet, so I want to catch up with you, see how the weekend was. I realize already by your text messages that you are blaming me for something that I'm not very appreciative
of. I think I'm the third person you got sick. Is that safe to say?
Second.
Who was that? That was Keenan and you. Else?
Man, what y'all been kissing?
That's what I said. I never got that close to either one of them.
Gay chicken.
That's Raheel. And Raheel's not sick.
Did you just say
I don't even know. I don't even know if you got me sick.
I know that I didn't, but I didn't like being accused by you this weekend.
Well, it was fun to do that part. That part I had no problem with.
Keenan said the same thing. He said he bowed out on us Friday. He sends me a text message. I'm out. Thanks for getting me sick, bro. I'm like, oh, so it's just like that, and it's on me. I mean, I know y'all love me and want, you know, to follow closely so that we can all stick together and have chemistry and camaraderie, but I did not get y'all sick.
I mean, have you heard yourself the past 5 days?
Right, but can I tell you it's been more than 5 days? What you don't understand is I've had this crud for over 2 weeks, and it's still not gone yet. But as I told you coming into the show, the other reason why I can't get rid of it is I dropped Taylor off at school this morning, and I get her out of the car seat, and I'm carrying her to school. I'm like, okay, you ready to go to school?
And she just coughs all in your face.
She's 2 inches from me and just goes, blah, blah, right into my – and I'm like, yeah, there's no – and at that age, they're not covering their mouth.
No. Of course not.
And I'm just like, there is the reason in itself why I am being exposed to every germ that every kid that comes in there has is because she just lets it fly.
Well, that's when you're supposed to – when they – I'm going to teach you the trick.
Please.
When you hear the first, as soon as you hear gurgling in the throat and in the belly of the beast, what you do is you just hold your breath. And when she start, and then you blow it out before you ingest it.
So, right. So when it's, but you got to see it coming.
You
she's great at disguising.
But see, you'll be able to hear it eventually. You just got to stay around a little bit and you'll be able to, you'll start hearing it eventually. Cause I get it a lot too, where they just hack in my face. I pause, hold my breath, and then blow that stuff out.
Yeah, I'm going to have to – I have to work on that a little bit because, she caught me a couple times. And, like, I don't know if I guess I did say this when we started – this crud started coming on. When parents bring their kids to daycare / school, and she's only 15 months old, but one with tonsillitis, which thank God I found out doesn't mean they had to be removed, but that it's like a chronic sore throat – and then laryngitis and strep throat. Three different sets of parents bring their kids to school. You have a pretty good idea if they're got a cold, the flu, or it might be something worse. And I know parents have to go to work, but let's just be a little bit smarter than that. They got the teacher sick. This teacher was sick for like a week with strep throat. And then all the parents are going to get like the backlash. So Lisa and I ended up with, and Lisa got off easy with a week. I'm going on 2.5 weeks of this crap. It is not fun.
Well, I'll tell you like I tell my wife, just start pushing the vitamin C. See, when and everybody, I think Lisa and them had a special on her show the other morning of the, you know, the myths versus reality of beating sickness, beating colds and stuff like that. I think that was on their station the other morning. But I always push the vitamin C, man. I push 3,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day.
Now, I do multiple vitamin every day and fish oil and vitamin B and B12 stress complex. But I always figure like vitamin C is...
Vitamin C boosts your immune system. So after 3,000 milligrams...
I'll do vitamin C trap, but I'm not doing that concoction that Nick wants me to do that now he and Barry want to do on the air. If you want in on it, that's fine.
What is this concoction?
Go ahead, Nick.
It's just a wellness shot. I mean, it's actually
He says
pretty...
it's a wellness shot and you're thinking a needle? Oh, no. It's the worst thing you could ever think about taking at a bar.
What is it?
So it's garlic, apple cider vinegar, and ginger root and honey. Those four ingredients. And you just mix
now
it
wait,
up in
now
a blender.
Tell Trap what you told me about when you take it, what your scalp feels like.
Yeah, it's, dude, my skin feels like it's just burning. Like
oh,
my
so you almost giving yourself like a niacin flush.
I don't know what that is.
Have you ever had niacin like in your vitamins and your stuff you take? Have you ever taken the actual protein powder, or have you ever taken the pills and all of a sudden you feel like this?
It opens up in your mouth?
No, but do you feel a tingling burning in your skin?
No.
It kind of feels like that.
Well, it's niacin. So somewhere along the line, they put niacin in that drink.
No, I mean, I make it myself. It's literally those four ingredients.
Okay. I'll check it out. I mean, it doesn't sound bad. It just sounds
Nick
like
posted a picture of it, or he tweeted, I mean, texted me a picture of it that he was going to go do it because after he accused me of getting him sick. And literally, the root that he was using looked like someone chopped off a cadaver's hand.
Yeah, it's a ginger root.
I understand what it was. It looked like Jason Pierre-Paul's hand sitting there on the side. I go, what the hell's on the side of the...
You've never seen a ginger root?
Yeah, but not like that. I mean, this looked legitimately like a hand in like when you go for too much Halloween candy, the hand that grabs you on the wrist. And I'm going, what in the world? And then Barry starts going, he and Barry start going, oh, we're going to do one of those shots on the air. I go, you guys are? I'm not doing that.
That's not a real big deal. I mean, put some alcohol in, then add that to it, and then I'll take a shot. I mean,
well, that's not surprising either.
That type of stuff I used to eat.
What you've explained to listeners you've put in your mouth over the years is nothing surprises me.
That's what I'm saying, though. That right there is something that my grandmother used to probably give us. You ever had senna?
I'm sorry?
Have you ever had senna? So there's a leaf called a senna leaf.
Is that senna part of cinnamon?
No, it's actually a leaf called senna. It's a senna leaf.
Are you a sinner? Then you need to go to more church.
Well, I'm just telling you it's called senna leaf.
Okay.
It makes you go to the bathroom. It literally...
Our chihuahua takes that then, regardless of whether she knows it or not, because all she does is pee all over.
But no, it doesn't make you pee.
Oh.
It makes you go number two.
Oh!
But it's literally you boil the senna leaf.
Got a hot Tootsie Roll pushing at the back door.
And that sucker, it cleans you out. And we used to be required to take that as a kid.
Moon River. Wait, required?
Yeah, my parents, my grandmother didn't play that.
Were you required to wear a tie on road games? Oh, that's
yeah, we actually were. When Dom Capers was here, we were required to either, if we didn't wear a tie, we had to have a mock turtleneck. So he was classified with a mock turtleneck.
You see what I tweeted last night?
No, I didn't.
I'm telling you, it had nothing. There's something more to the story. Because he was at that Golden State Rockets game the other night, and I think he stayed too long because it went double overtime.
And he missed the curfew. I think
the first thing that came to my mind when I was like, why is Cam not out there? And then they started getting into it, and I was like, first thing that popped in my mind was he was at that Rockets Warriors game, and he stayed too long.
And he took too long to get that private jet to come back.
Right. They were working out in Oakland all week. And then they went up to Seattle.
That makes sense. Yeah, and he probably probably just missed curfew getting back.
Yep.
But I mean, at the same time, a lot of people have that rule though. I mean, Dom Capers used to have the rule: you had to have a jacket to every game.
Yeah.
So my brother-in-law Robert used to walk around with like a size 30 children's jacket. They used to drape.
You have to wear it?
No, you don't have to wear it. You just have to have it.
See, that's a key.
You know, you just have to have it. So Bear would always wear. Like Bear would always wear like a walker or something with a tie like tossed around his neck, And then he had this little schmedium jacket that wouldn't even fit on Nick. That used to literally be on his roller bag.
See, you beat me to it. I was going to say Nick could probably use that jacket right now.
It was Nick couldn't fit it. And literally was like, Dom be like, Robert, where's your jacket? And Robert pick up this jacket, and it'd be the smallest thing you've ever seen in life. It was hilarious. But we used to rock the mock turtlenecks, though, so you could get away with not wearing a tie.
Oh, I was big on that. For all the early years of working the Rockets games when I was producing and doing stuff like that, every night was a suit. But because I hated ties that much, I always wore a mock underneath it.
Oh, yeah. You're not wrong. I hate ties, too.
Oh, can't stand them. I had a 17.5-inch neck, and I know you can beat that. But, I mean, 17.5, 18-inch neck, that I just shirts and ties were just not my thing. So, Nick, the weekend was basically, I assume, recovering?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't terrible, but I was pretty sick for at least two solid nights. But, yeah. I mean,
and now you come in today looking like an ad for Banana Republic, so you must be feeling better.
What are you talking about, man?
Matt, Nick's trying to holiday girl.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are. I think you were, too.
No. I think, congratulations first go out to Steve Bunin for going back to his hometown in Seattle and leaving our network to get a great gig doing some morning TV and doing all news and television. So with him leaving, there's an open opportunity on SB Nation across the hall from us. And so the candidates are starting to come in. And I can tell you every guy, if I didn't have to go around and ask. I knew who every guy in this office, if they're single, is. Because some of the candidates that are flying through here, they're interviewing in the conference room.
Yeah.
And it is like a sword fighting festival as they try and get as many drive-by looks as they can.
I was wondering why, because I didn't understand why. I was like, dang, there's a lot of traffic up front.
Oh, my goodness. You need a light.
But you know what? When I came in here, I know somebody mentioned like, oh, there's a looker in there. I'm like, all right, well, there's a looker, but, you know, it is.
I was hoping it would be the future Mrs. Shirara, but Nick, you know, Nick's rules, no tall girls.
Yeah, she is quite tall.
Hey, it's all right, man. But here's the thing. If you have a baby with a tall girl, your son or daughter will be a little bit taller, and you'll make your generations go taller. So next time you get kids.
And that's half the battle trap. Yeah, the other half is you got to get an athlete with a tall girl, because then you're guaranteed to have a tall athlete, which will get you off the bills for college and get you, you know, and get a chance. Nick doesn't have the athleticism to bring to the table either. So it's like, what are you bringing?
Exactly.
Well, I don't know. Nick recovered.
Was he bringing good skin?
He is. Nick recovered pretty well from that black eye. So, yeah, I would say he
the black what?
The black eye.
Oh, you just said it kind of quickly. You know, if I say it kind of quickly, I get criticized for FBI Friday.
If you said it was a black guy.
You said it pretty quickly, and I thought it was a black guy. All right, we're here till 4 o'clock. 713-780. It's the white guy, me, and the black guy, Trap, and then the in-between guy, and Nick. 713-780-ESPN. You can call us. You can text us on that number. We'd love to have you part of the show. Mike, you're going to be next. You already have taken us up on our suggestion, and because you know how we do it, you already called in on the line before I even teased it. We can also be reached on Twitter. Before there was a JJ, there was a Trap J, and the man who made 99 famous in a Texans uniform is here to my left, Travis Johnson. He's at Trap J 99. No Hit Nick is behind the glass, and I'm at Pac-Man Joel with a K. And let me emphasize, that's P-A-C-K-E-R-S. Go Pack, go. And you already know that they did yesterday. We are here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. I'm back where I belong.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Trapp, and my man Nick until 4 o'clock. And by the way, Nick, great tune there. Here's the problem that I have. You're probably going to have line one light up, and, Nick, that is not the kind of music that you should be playing because it's not significantly attached to the stations closest to us on the FM dial. Just saying. Because if there's anybody that's going to break the rules and do whatever the hell we want, it'd probably be us.
Yeah, no question. I mean, is this not an FM station?
Yeah.
Is this not the living room?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to play what we want to play.
Exactly. Pump up the stereo.
No question.
Pass the chips.
No question. And play great music.
Yeah, Nick's pretty good about that, too.
Dang right. Nick should ride around the ones and two.
Well, Trap keeps me on my feet on Mondays and Fridays.
My wife did say she loves the way we come in, our intro music. She said our intro music is top-notch.
Now, if he could just do that with sound effects and sound clips and things like that, we'd be doing some stuff.
But you know what? As we're learning, he's learning.
Absolutely. As I've said from the beginning, we're building this thing, and it's a work in progress. With that being said, we've got some calls, one for each of us right now. So we'll start with you, Travis. Mike from Katy has a question for Trap J. Mike, welcome to the show.
Trav, what's up, guys?
What's up?
What's up, man?
First, I want to compliment you guys on having the most enthusiastic female intern I've ever spoken to.
If you saw her today and talked to her without making the phone call, you would have a hard time getting us to go to bat for her because Yuli...
You talking about little Selena Gomez?
God, she was half asleep today and all bundled up.
Yeah.
Anyway, the reason I was calling is the reason I listen to you guys is not only do I get my sports fix, but I learned something new. A couple of weeks ago, I was taking some thermogenics, and man, out of nowhere, my skin just started burning. I thought I was about to die. Back of my neck, my arm.
That's the niacin.
I had no idea what it was.
It was the niacin. So did you check? Have you checked the bottle yet and seen that niacin was in there?
I didn't check the bottle. This was really the first time I'd taken it without eating anything. I was kind of in a rush to get to the gym,
yeah.
So I just popped one. And on the way to the gym, sitting in the car, man, I thought my seat was on fire. I was dying.
And your skin started crawling. They call it niacin burn. That's exactly what it is. So Nick's
had weekends where he thought his seat was on fire, but that's just because he overdid it.
And that might have been because he slept with the wrong girl.
Oh, see, Nick, see what he did there?
I was just going to say Chinese food or something like that.
There's a line in the sand, and then there's the guy that just kicks right through.
Like, man, bump your fork.
Jeez.
But that's just that niacin, man. You know what? My mother was the one who had to tell me what it was. Because one day I was taking all my supplements when I was playing.
It wasn't just about the niacin. Your mother had to do that a lot.
No, but yeah, she was taking a bunch of, you know, my mother is a big health nut now, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I used to start, when I was playing, I was taking all these supplements. And I told her, I said, Mom, for some reason I get to burning it and my body, my skin is burning. And she's like, you been taking niacin? I was like, I don't know if I'm taking any niacin. And I go back and start reading the labels on some of the stuff I was taking. And I found niacin like three different things.
You know, the story was told to me a different way.
By whom?
I'm not going to dip anybody in the grease, but I heard your mom asked you if you made sure you had some condoms.
Oh,
just throwing it out there. Mike, appreciate the call, my man. Don't be a stranger. Josh, you're up next. What's up?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
Hey, so I want to ask both y'all y'all's opinion. Week 9 going on to week 10, I had said that my AFC and NFC picks for playoffs was AFC.
You mean Super Bowl?
Texans, a Super Bowl?
Oh, this is for playoffs. I thought you were trying to pick the AFC and NFC champs. All right,
Well, here's my AFC picks for the playoffs. It was Texans, Pats, Ravens, and Raiders. And then NFC was Cowboys, Seahawks, Falcons, and the Lions. Now, these were my picks week 9 going on to week 10. My pick for Super Bowl is going to be Raiders and Cowboys. I'm going to go ahead and hang up the phone, and I want to hear both of y'all's opinion on this.
All right. We appreciate the call, Josh. Thanks a lot. Trav, you want to go first?
Right now, you know, the crazy part is right now the Raiders and the Cowboys aren't too far-fetched. I mean, the Raiders before yesterday's game were 0-75 when down 14 points.
Mm-hmm. You know, they're the one seed in the AFC because of tiebreakers.
Because of tiebreakers. They were 0-75 when down 14 points. The Buffalo Bills still have never won in Oakland.
And they were in control of most of that game.
And that's nuts. And so, you know what? The way they're playing, I mean, right now you're looking at a guy who probably in Derek Carr, who should be in Houston. Let me say that.
Ooh, that nasty last name.
Derek Carr, who is probably going to be the league MVP this year.
And should be in Houston.
And Khalil Mack, who also could have been in Houston. We did good with Jadavion, and Jadavion's playing well right now.
He played well yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He didn't play.
Thank you.
And
Xavier Suafilo, though. He's solid.
There you go.
Why are you
bringing up old stuff?
I'm crotchety right now.
But not just that. Then they got Khalil Mack, who's probably going to
be. Khalil Mack could be. He could actually be the overall MVP, but he's got to be the leader for defense.
He's going to win the Defense Player of the Year award. And That's going to be interesting. So, I mean, it's I actually like those picks for the Raiders versus the Cowboys. That'd be a phenomenal Super Bowl.
I'm going to tell you right now.
But what would suck is the fact that if you're an Oakland fan and they're leaving to go to Las Vegas the following year, you're sick because you're like,
they're starting to get good.
Exactly. They're starting to get real good.
And you had an election where you could have actually done something so that you could have kept them. And you know your team, you can see the writing on the wall. This team's going to be good for a while and it still gets away from you. That's on you, though.
That is.
That's sad.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that's taking it in the black hole instead of taking the black hole to people, if you know what I mean.
Exactly.
The big thing for me is, I'll just go quickly. I don't know how the hell you had the Lions at that point a couple weeks ago, but props to you. But I would say I don't see it like you guys. I just think because of the inexperience at the quarterback position in both the Raiders and the Cowboys, I'm going to say Seattle is the best team in the NFC. Now, don't underestimate how big a loss Earl Thomas is. The back half of that secondary just took, and their entire defense took a hit that you can't even imagine unless you really know football to know how good a football player he is. But Russell Wilson's healthy. They've got speed in the running game. The receivers have never been great, but Jimmy Graham's healthy, and that's helpful. I think that experience will be a huge factor, and I think Seattle comes out of the NFC at this point. And I think New England comes out of the AFC from the same reason. I think experience, and I think between now and the end of the year, the Raiders' schedule still has them playing Kansas City and Denver on the road. Those are going to be tough games for them, including this Thursday night, which they're guesstimating the temperature to be about 6 degrees. That's going to be hard for a Southern California team to go play.
Oh, it's always cold. It's always cold. It's not,
and with their the defense, Oakland's not a Southern California team, as a caveat to saying their defense could not be playing any better right now.
Oakland's not
Kansas
a Southern California team either, though.
Whatever. Close enough.
No.
So anyway, I got to say my opinion.
Okay, go ahead.
And my opinion is it's a rematch. It's New England and Seattle.
Okay, yeah, I agree. But, you know, the only thing I was disagreeing is, you know, Californians, we don't like the guys from up north.
Yeah, I live with the Californians. Yeah, no.
So we don't claim them people up north. So when you said
claim
who
you want to claim and don't claim who you don't want to claim, I just was asked for an opinion. I'm giving it. And by the way, and I said this before, and I'll say it again. The same time that I said the Texans would lose three in a row, and they did, I said don't count Green Bay out for the division, and I'm still not counting Green Bay out for the division. And now when the weather's turning like this and these teams got to come through Green Bay, this week's game against Seattle is the only game that worries me, and the Packers can run the table, and they can win the division, and then y'all can eat crow. I'm just telling you.
I mean, I never doubted you. I mean, the thing is, I don't think the home field advantage is like that for Green Bay when you go down there and the weather's changing, because they don't practice in that weather just as much as you don't practice in that weather.
They do practice outside.
They practice more inside than they do outside.
I'm not divulging secrets.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. They practice more inside than they do outside. But I mean, they practice outside, but they don't get a chance to. Nobody likes playing in that weather. I mean, you enjoy it because it's fun. It's great. I mean, but the Texans had ample opportunities to.
All right, we can get to that. But at the same time, the difference between inside and outside is inside is normally warm, cozy, and if it's decorated right and furnished properly, you're in a good spot. You and I have talked about this over and over again. The best place to get furniture is now a proud sponsor of our show, and I could not be more honored, Gallery Furniture. They are the best place to do your Christmas shopping because they can give you a gift that keeps on giving. That's either a good night's sleep with a Macapedic mattress for $19.99, or Gallery Furniture has three locations. They can give you an $800 Gallery Furniture gift card free if you get that Macapedic mattress, or you can just get some of the best furniture in town at some of the best prices with quality that is second to none and service that cannot be beat. Buy today, get it tonight, as my man Max says. And if you want to go shop the I-45 location because it's like a field trip all in one. They got that world's biggest Texas flag of mattresses. The kids can jump around on this huge bed that looks like the Texas flag. There's literally monkeys and animals and all kinds of things, food. It's a great place to do your shopping. And while the kids are hanging out, having fun, and are occupied, you can look at the best deals on furniture. The best sale with the biggest selection, Gallery's Holiday Super Sale, open until 10 o'clock tonight and every night. Save on Made in America solid wood furniture, two-for-one recliners, and Macapedic sleep sets today. You got to get over to see my man, Mac, as he says, I-40 North, 505 North, exit Tidwell Parker, no back quarter slips. Buy today, get it tonight, Gallery Furniture.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Welcome to the Church of Travis, where I'm Pastor Joel, and I do try and help out as much as possible. But when a man gets on a soapbox, like in commercial breaks, sometimes he's your only hope is to contain him, because there's no way you're controlling him. So we've got plenty to get to in terms of the game yesterday. If you guys want to rehash it, we can. I know that every other station and every other show in the market has done it like 18 times over. I was very pleased. I knew that the weather would help, but I guess from the very get-go, you know what, if you're a Texans fan, for as much heat, and I get it that Mr. McNair came out after the game and he was basically saying this wasn't on Brock, it wasn't Brock's fault, but the more I kept looking at it and the more even we were talking about it in the pre-production meeting, you can't put all of this on Brock. He did not play badly. I mean, I said he could have a breakout. He didn't have a breakout, but he didn't kill you either. He didn't throw picks. He didn't, you know, he threw for 247. There were drives, and I told you guys this in the meeting too. The biggest thing was when they played a little faster up tempo, he moved the ball. He wasn't staring down receivers. He had guys open. He's played in the conditions before. And I thought for the most part, he moved the team. Did I ever feel worried? Absolutely not. I thought the Packers were in control the entire time, and I didn't have to worry about it. But Miller got dinged up early. That didn't help. The other Miller, Braxton Miller, took what looked like a vicious shot on his shoulder. That didn't help. But he still found Fedorowicz, was moving the ball a little bit, and they had their chances. With that being said, this is the most ridiculously bad play calling and offense that I've ever seen. And as a Texans fan, I could not feel more for the entire city and the fan base across the country for this team. Because even in past years, when you had Hoyer, when you had Mallett, when you had these guys under O'Brien, look, they took their shots and they moved the ball. And they weren't as predictable. And I said I could sit there during the course of the game yesterday. And again, Travis, you and I have had this conversation. I didn't play the game like you. Yes, I'm an aficionado and I study it to some degree. But I could have told you on every second down they were going to run the ball, particularly when they tried to pass it on first and it didn't work. And that on every third down, if it was less than 10 yards, they were running it. And it's just, I feel bad for the Texans fans because it's like the same crap every year over and over again. And Sean Salisbury said it. It's like Groundhog Day. You wake up every day expecting something different, and every year and every day and every time, that you get the same stuff.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Yeah, the play call was bad at times, I think. But when you look at when you look at the offensive line play or the lack thereof of what was going on, I think that kind of puts you in a mindset of you look at these guys and say, what do y'all want to do? And if they say, hey, let's run the ball, let's try to get the ball ran. You know what I mean? Because we're having a problem blocking these guys up front. I mean, you saw. At some point, it's just a lot of communication issues in the passing game, and I think that's probably if I'm looking to
who are you faulting on that?
The offensive line.
Now the communication?
Yes.
Okay. No coaching issues?
No, because you're a pro.
What about always running it on second down and 10?
You run on second down is always a waste down anyway.
Well, they did the best to waste it.
Second down,
did a hell of a job doing what they were supposed to do.
Second down is a waste down. I mean, you can do whatever you want to do with a second down.
I mean, you don't think there's some quick route that Brock would be comfortable with on second down?
It always depends on what the looks are giving.
By the way, the quickest route Brock's comfortable with is that bank account on Tuesdays when he's cashing that check.
Yeah. Right. Well.
Well, I mean, I don't mind. You know what? I don't mind him stealing. I'm good for him.
Okay, but where are you putting the block? Because I'm not putting it all on Brock this week.
No, I'm not, because Brock, in my opinion, Brock didn't play bad. He played good enough to win this game.
Right.
I mean,
we go back to the term every week. Yeah. He was a game manager, but he did his job managing.
He did good enough to play. He played well enough to win this game. I think when you look at this game, you got to look at the offensive line at times that had miscommunication issues that didn't get the guys blocked up front. They were supposed to get blocked. You know, everybody wants to blame Charles James for the touchdown. His feet got tangled up in the snow. So everybody could continue to talk all the stuff they want to talk. I mean, at one point, he was like the third highest trending thing on Twitter yesterday. You know, but I don't blame him for giving up that touchdown. Anybody would did. He was in great coverage until that happened. So when I look at it, I just got to say, hey, you got to look back at saying the back end of the team kind of, you know, when you look at the DBs, they played well early. They made a few mistakes. But then you look at offensive line. If it's a position, I got to put on offensive line. Either offensive line and the coaches for the play calling, those are the only two things you can't really look at and say it goes on them guys. And then you got to look at the receivers. These guys weren't getting open per se all the time. You know, Green Bay did actually a pretty decent job of getting pass rush and all of a sudden keeping them at bay.
But here's the thing. You look at what you're talking about, but yet he still, every time he looks Hopkins' way, he doesn't start out looking anywhere else. You know, Nick brought it up, and we talked about it, and I'm adamant about it. He brought it up this weekend, and I hadn't seen the San Francisco game, under the same conditions, by the way, that they're playing in Green Bay. But at this point of the year, would I take Colin Kaepernick over Brock Osweiler?
Yeah, I would take,
I absolutely would. I would simply take for those little idiosyncrasies we're talking about, and being a professional quarterback, you got to look guys off before you look the way that you're going to go with your number one read. You gotta manage the game. You gotta be able to get out of the pocket. You gotta make the right decisions. And look, whether they worked out right or not, it was pretty obvious that on the other side, number 12 was making the final call.
Yeah.
He was audibilizing. One, it didn't work on fourth down, but at the same time, he was audibilizing. His coach had confidence in him. What it says to me when they do what they're doing on a regular basis on second down, and also when they have opportunities in shorter situations and they don't get it, and or they don't go for whatever, they don't execute and they don't run a play that you think they should run, a passing play instead of a running play, all the things we're talking about, that to me reverts back to a coach that doesn't have confidence in his quarterback.
And the quarterback doesn't have confidence in his offense.
Correct. So there's so many disconnects here that either should have been corrected by now or just shows you that the talent isn't even close to what we think it is. And I guess to give you credit, it goes back to you saying Cleveland might have more talent now than the Texans do, because on paper, it looks like the Texans are a pretty talented team.
Yeah.
And that's why the fans have such high expectations going into a season. It's also why you and I said 9-7 could be 7-9, and we're not ready to crown them anything.
Exactly.
Where everybody else did. But when you look at them now, as opposed to the start of the year, maybe reality sets in that maybe they're not as talented as everybody thought they were.
No, and not just the talent. I just think they don't have a grasp on the offense. I think you look at, like, you brought up the fact that fourth down audible that Aaron had.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it didn't work, but it was the right call.
Yeah, because of what
you see what I'm saying?
Because of what the defense presented
him. I mean, when you talking about either he was going to give him a now route, I mean, because it was fourth and one, fourth and two, you know, and all of a sudden – If he'd been playing off, then you'd have called an out route or a bubble, you know, basically where you said, all right, all you do is take one step, turn around, get the ball, and let him fight for those 2 yards. But the fact that he had press coverage, if he tries to throw that pass easily intercepted or deflected and intercepted. So it's a lot of things that you have to look at. And I just don't think our offense, I don't think the guys that are calling the plays or the guys executing the plays are comfortable with the offense and even grasp the offense.
There you have it. From the expert's mouth, and we've got plenty more to break down. If you want to talk Texans, 713-780-ESPN, you can text us, you can call us, or you can do what a lot of people like Scott and Deer Park are doing, hitting us up on Twitter. By the way, Trap, the Packers do walkthroughs outside as well, as practice.
We got a couple of texts, too, so we'll read them out.
And so we got texts coming up. We've got plenty of other things to get to. We got college football issues to get through. The Astros made a couple of moves. You should be happy that your Astros are lining themselves up to be hyper-competitive in baseball. I know Travis and I are excited about baseball. Got some college basketball to talk about and the fact that college basketball is coming to the Toyota Center. You guys want to hear about that and a whole lot more. We've got plenty of info. Always the people who deliver the info and bring it 150%. ESPN 97.5. King Solomon, letting bygone be bygone,
and so on and so on. ESPN 97.5.